The reading today is taken from Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I was an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing on me now? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people who are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided that the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you for coming along this morning. First of all, can I apologise for the rain? It's all my fault. I looked at my lawn last night. It's very brown, so I watered it. Got up this morning to find that the Lord had been doing a much better job than I had. But I'm sure the gardeners will all want some rain, so we have to welcome it. And also for the petrol heads here who have not gone to Goodwood today, given that up to come, but the Lord's got much more exciting things than racing cars racing around and red arrows and things, I'm sure. Thanks for reading the reading for us, Rachel. It's always encouraging that the reading you get read is the one you were preparing for. It can be quite exciting if a different reading is read. You usually get two in that case. Just to remind ourselves about Galatians, because we didn't have Galatians last week, although the theme was very similar when Martin was here. And Galatians. First of all, I decided I didn't actually know where Galatia was. Anybody know where Galatia is? No, well, there you go. See, that's the first thing we didn't know about this reading. Where on earth is Galatia? Well, from what I can tell from reading about it, if you know anywhere Ankara is in Turkey, which is in the middle of the Asian bit of Turkey, not over where Istanbul is, that's roughly where Galatia is. And interesting enough, it's called Galatia because it's called after an invasion by Gauls. People up here invaded that part of the world some hundreds of years before that, and therefore it was known as the area of the Gauls, and that became under the Romans Galatia. And Paul had been there. Paul was a great church planter. We've been talking about church planting. Those who came to the church weekend would know all about church planting and what can be gained through that. And he was, if you like, the first and a really great church planter. He travelled to much of the known world, as it was then, preaching the gospel and teaching that Christ brings salvation through grace by faith. And for the Jews, that it was the fulfillment of the Jewish law. There had been a big discussion amongst the apostles and with Paul about whether the gospel was for everybody. Now for us, that seems obvious, but it wasn't at the time because Jesus was a Jew and he came to the Jews. He did say it would go to everybody, but the Jews still hadn't quite worked that one out at one point. And Paul had gone back to Jerusalem and had a big discussion, full and frank, which means an argument in modern terminology, with Peter and the apostles. And they finally agreed that actually, since the Lord was doing such spectacular things with the Gentiles, that it must be for everybody. And they blessed him and sent him out to go and bring the gospel to those, to the Gentiles. So there was a discussion and a decision that the message is for all mankind, which is encouraging for me because I'm not a Jew, but I am a Christian. And when he last visited Galatia, we understand from this reading that he was ill. We don't quite know why he was ill or what he was ill with. Sorry, this thing's annoying me slightly. I'll move pockets, see if that improves it. But it clearly wasn't a very nice illness, because he says, even though I was ill, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. But we don't know why. But apparently he'd only gone there because he was ill. Whether they could cure what he had, whether it was the right climate for what he had, we don't know. But the Spirit had led him there through an illness. But unfortunately, for what you learn about church planting, is don't rush in and plant a church and then rush away again. That's sort of what Paul had to do. He had to leave those people there who he had taught to carry on with the church, because his mission was to go around to lots of other geographical places and to keep spreading the gospel. But as in quite a few places that Paul went, he had heard when he was not there anymore that things were starting to go a bit wrong. And the wrongness came because of this argument about, well, was it for the Jews or was it for Gentiles? Was the gospel for everybody? Or did you have to become a Jew in order to become a Christian? And although if you read through here, it says, formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. That's the first verse of our reading today. That to me implies that these people, some of the people there were not Jews. Because these gods who, sorry, these who by their nature are not gods, were not things that the Jews would necessarily have adhered to. They might have done, but it's more likely that they were talking about, he's talking about idols, about the local gods, possibly even things like horoscopes and nature and all sorts of things that get tied up in religions. But they're not gods. They might think they are, but they're not. They're bits of wood, they're stone, they're pictures, they're some monument. But also, there clearly were people in his congregation in the Galatian churches who were Jews, because they were trying to persuade the Christians that they had to become Jews, they had to be circumcised, and they had to go back to fulfilling the law. And that's where Paul has his real problem, because he's been preaching justification by grace, and they were beginning to go back to teaching justification by works. And I'll probably say it several times this morning. You and I cannot earn any part of God's grace for us. He gives it freely. Well, look at what people think they might have to do in order to be saved and continue to be saved a bit later on, so perhaps we can avoid some of those things. But let's be quite clear. We are saved by grace through faith. There's nothing we can do, which is encouraging, because you might say, well, there's nothing I can do anyway, because I don't feel I've got enough in my life or my spiritual life or my the world around me that I could contribute. And the answer is, it doesn't matter, because you don't bring that stuff. You can't. But there seems to be an inbuilt desire in mankind, and I'd probably say from my point of view in men, to persuade others that only they can lead them. I mean, it's a classic political thing. If you look at a lot of the politicians in the world, if you can find an enemy, even if it's not a real enemy, if you can find an enemy that you can protect your population from, you can persuade them you're the only person that can do that, that they have to follow you because this enemy will get them. It seems to get into society by all sorts of ways and means, and it certainly gets into the church. There are those who would like to be leaders and therefore are persuading the others, those who have become Christians, that the only way that they can go is to follow them into what Paul is saying is an absolutely false gospel. In a sense, it's not a gospel. Good gospel means good news. If it's false, it must be bad news. But it's being presented as good news. So Paul had heard that Judaizers are at work in Galatia and turning the church back to adherence to the law. You can only say he's appalled if you read it. I've highlighted some of the things. I fear for you. I feel that sometimes I've wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you. I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you. I am perplexed about you. He's really anguished that despite the fact that they accepted the Lord, they became Christians, they praised the Lord when he was there, and now they're turning to other ways, or ways that will lead them away from the truth of the gospel. Going back a little bit, in Galatians 3, Paul says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Before the coming of this faith, you were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Of all the people that should have been promoting the law, Paul was probably the most obvious one to be doing it, had it have been the right message. Because he was as much a Jew, he was a Pharisee, he'd been through all the training. In fact, as we read in Acts, he was actually out there trying to stop the Christian church from growing. He was imprisoning Christians because he was quite convinced that the law was the only way forward. And he would have held all the things that the law said you had to do. Lots and lots of little things you had to do. I don't know, I presume they didn't do it in their day, but you may have heard stories around that if you are trying to adhere to the law really, really down to the letter, it gets to be absolutely, to me, a nightmare. But to them, they think they have to do that. One of the things I heard recently, some time ago, was that some Jews in London were complaining that their landlords had put automatic light switches, these infrared light switches in the corridors in their blocks of flats, so that when you walked in, the lights came on. We'd all say, really good. But they were worried because that meant they had turned a light on a Sunday. And if you get down to that level of things that you have to do in order to be in God's favour, I think you're down the wrong track, even as a Jew, personally. But I'll have to ask Peter one day. Not here today, but that was the way things had gone. Justification by works was what was being promoted. Things you had to do, festivals you had to go for, words you had to say, all sorts of things you had to do, and they had wandered away from the true gospel, the true good news. Paul says here, they had to observe special days, weeks, months, years. The men needed to be circumcised. And Paul says, no, if you decide that actually you have to go back to the law, what you are saying is that Jesus did not fulfill the law. That his work upon the cross was for no benefit. Because that's what Jesus tells us, that his death and resurrection would fulfill the law, and that was it. The law was gone. That reading I read from Galatians 3, the law is described as protective custody. In order to keep us safe, we're locked away. You know, I'm sure with the children, if you've got young children, we've got a 3-year-old granddaughter. If you don't leave the door locked, she's probably gone. So we keep the door locked. We don't give her freedom to do whatever she likes because it would be dangerous for her to do it. It would be dangerous for her. And God gave the law to do exactly that, to keep us in protective custody until faith came. But that's no more. Faith has come. The gospel says that we can be saved, that we can become children of God, heirs in his name. And that's for our freedom. And the chains, if you like, the boundaries, the walls, all the things that would pin us in from the law are gone. And if we say, well, we still need that, as I said before, that means that we are saying that Jesus did not do all the things that we know he did. And that's Paul's concern. Somebody is preaching that Jesus did not fulfill the law and his death and resurrection was not all that we needed to be saved. So let's be clear. I'll say it again. Lest we could do nothing to earn our entry into God's kingdom. It is a free gift from God through the death and resurrection of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sin once and for all. We cannot pay it again. We don't need to pay it again. And if we add to that, we effectively say that he failed. So what are the things that I've come across that might be things that we think we need to do in order to keep in God's favour, to perhaps keep our salvation or even get to salvation? We don't have them here, but I can tell you that pews are a real problem in many churches. You'd think that pews were the only thing that kept somebody on the right side of God in some churches. I mean, I personally don't understand why. I've got a dear friend of ours who actually is in a Methodist church. They've taken the pews out and put comfy chairs in. And you think somebody's in the 90s would say, at last I can sit in a comfy chair. but she has a problem with that, bless her. Images, statues and crosses. Penny and I were blessed to have a holiday in being led round the art of Spain this spring. I'm completely cathedraled out. If I see another Madonna picture, it'll be slightly too soon. We do not need any of that. However good they are, however good the art is, and however that picture might be, or that image might be well done, that is not part of our salvation. We don't actually have a cross up here with some on the pictures. It would be nice if we had one, I suppose. Nothing wrong with having one. It would be a symbol of our faith, but it's not necessary. We do not need it. Certain services, well, at the risk of upsetting Paul, because I'm going to say this, you don't need to come to these services to be a Christian. We come to the services because we are Christians, because we want to worship, as Steve was saying, and it's great to worship God and to hear about his love for us and to meet with other Christians and have the support and the prayer of others. But it doesn't make us Christians. It doesn't get us beyond the point where we suddenly become saved. And outside church, do we wish people good luck? Sort of one of those things that occasionally English people do when they get excited. Good luck. No such thing as luck. It doesn't happen. Are we a bit OCD about something that we have to do or something we have to avoid doing? Well, we have to pray that those things will go away because it isn't part of the gospel. And none of these will earn our way into God's presence. None of it will earn our favour with Jesus. Just accept and believe and relax into his love and the assurance of the presence of the Holy Spirit as we can become joint heirs. We have become joint heirs with Christ. And beware those who would enslave you. I'm going to tread a little bit on, I think it's Joe who's preaching in a couple of weeks' time. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. If you feel that something's happening in the church that's becoming a burden, remember that verse. We're not to be burdened. We are not to get ourselves in the point where, having been set free, we are somehow or other going to be imprisoned again. That something's going to hold us back. In Galatia, it was those who were trying to persuade them that they had to go back to the law. Do this or you'll not be saved. Do as I say or you'll not be saved. I'm afraid my understanding of church history is that the church, I'm afraid, for many hundreds of years did exactly that. Said, unless you adhere to what the church says, you are not saved. There are some churches that still say that. There are some modern churches, I'm afraid, who have gone down that path, where control, where the giving the church some sort of complete overpower to keep people under control is still there. It's not part of the gospel. I was looking up how we've moved on from that, and I won't say any of you remember him because it was in 1517, but Martin Luther, the original one, not the junior one, the original Martin Luther was the one who, he probably wasn't the first person to wake up, but he was the first person to become public to say that actually what the church was doing was no longer actually in line with the gospel, that it was controlling people, that it had actually locked people up back in prison again, when it should have set them free. In Matthew 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." You shut the door of the kingdom in the face of the, in heaven, people's faces. I'm afraid for many hundreds of years, probably still now in some places, we still do that. And it must stop. So how do we guard against that? Well, first of all, to check what we hear for ourselves. One of the problems that people had in the past, they couldn't do that because they didn't have Bibles in English. We have more versions of Bibles in English than you can shake a stick at. And if you haven't got a physical printed one, if you go on the Bible Gateway, you can again read more versions of the Bibles in English and any other language you want to read it in than you could. And you can look things up and you can search. And you can test and you can say, what I'm being told or what I've been reading in this book, is it true? Is it what the gospel says? Do it for yourself. Don't even listen to me and say, yes, Martin, because you said it, it must be true. I'm fallible. My lady wife will tell you that. I'm fallible. I get ideas. I try to base them on what's in the Bible, and on your behalf, I do a bit of research before we come to these sessions. But check it for yourself. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to teach you through the Holy Spirit what is right and what is wrong. When we were first married, one of our churches was split, went off, and they formed another church, and I'm afraid they got into all sorts of weird, wonderful teachings that were just not right. It happens. Be on your guard. Check with the Lord, check with the Bible, His Word. Pray for clarity and guidance and an infilling of the Holy Spirit to keep you safe. And I'll say it again, always remember, you cannot earn your salvation, your way into heaven. That's great. So Martin, but how do I do it? You just accept the grace that God offers you. The Father's wonderful gift of grace. And that's it. How can it be so simple? Well, it is, because God's made it that simple. And we humans try to make it complicated. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Guard your freedom. Christ earned it for you on the cross. Not freedom to sin, for why would we deliberately upset the Father? But as we heard last week, freedom to live life to the full. Martin Goldsmith preached on that last week. Not all about waiting till we die and then being in heaven. It's about having full life now. Jesus said, I've come to give you life in all its fullness. Jesus came to set us free. Freedom to worship God. Freedom to rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. Freedom to be God's body here on earth, in serving others, in bringing the good news to those around us. Justin's already mentioned that there are some serving we need to do, which we're not quite getting the numbers up to, and perhaps one or two of you could think about that as part of God's body here on earth, doing what Jesus would do with the little children. But above all, freedom to relax into the love of Christ. Interesting to say, but sometimes we need help. We need to pray about that. Say, Lord, I don't seem to be relaxed. I don't seem to be free of worry. I don't seem to be quite as free as you've promised. So what is it? Send your Holy Spirit. I wasn't going to mention this, but I will because it seems to fit. I had the privilege of being in Toronto on business when, remember the Toronto, those remember the coming of the Spirit in Toronto? And I was there, I had a couple of evenings free between meetings, and I was told where the church was, so I set off in my little hire car to find the airport church, and there was this chapel that was all closed up, not very big, with a notice on the door saying, we don't meet here anymore, we meet at whatever it was. And they'd moved to a shopping mall that had closed down, which they'd rented. It was enormous. So it had none of the stuff that you have to have in a church, didn't have any pews, didn't have any pictures, didn't have any, it was just a shopping mall with all the stuff taken out. And there they were praying for people, and it was the most peaceful, restful time I've ever had anywhere. Absolutely, what the coming of the Holy Spirit was about peace, was about freedom, was about comfort, was about joy. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do for each one of us. So you might be in a variety of positions this morning. We're going to wind up now, you might be pleased to know. There are those of you here who perhaps have never got to that point of saying, Lord, you're offering me the free gift of salvation, of becoming an heir, a child of yours. And you've never done that. And today we're going to pray that perhaps today will be the day. I would say, if you haven't, today is the day. And there may be those of us who've, at some time in the past, it may be years ago, have come to that point and said, Lord, yes, you are the Lord. And we know we're His. But somehow or other, we've still got chains on. There's something or some things around where we don't feel fully free. That somehow it hasn't got completely clear of us. It might be a physical problem. It might be a mental problem. It might be a spiritual problem. It might be real or imagined. I'm great at imagining problems. I can imagine problems that I can tell you that none of the problems I've ever worried about have ever happened. And to some extent, I cling to that because I'm worrying about it. And say, Martin, you've worried about all these things in the past and none of them ever happened. So this one isn't going to happen either. And then Bit says, ah, this was the first time. Anyway, so if you might be like me, where you worry about things and they become sort of almost dominating. So we're going to pray. I suggest that first of all, we pray for those who might be thinking now is the day. And if you know anybody here who might be in that situation, now is your time to help pray for them. I'll pray a general prayer. And if you've prayed that prayer, which side of the prayer team going to be? Well, Steve, that side? Please, can the prayer team go over there now? If in this time you want to be prayed for something, even if I haven't got to that bit yet, don't worry about it. Go and start being prayed for. If you do pray a prayer and you accept the Lord for the first time today, please don't leave it at that. Please go over and join with the team here. They'd love to pray with you. They'd love to help you out and know of your good news. So let's first of all, let's pray for those who may not yet have accepted the gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, sometimes it's difficult for us to understand that you have paid the price for our sin. You have cleaned away the problem of the gap between us and the Father. Lord, you have fulfilled the law given in ancient times. And Lord, all we have to do is to accept your grace and your love and to say, Lord Jesus, I come. Lord, you are longing and waiting for us to do this. You want to make us joint heirs with you that we can become children of God in a way which we could never really understand. You want to input within us your Holy Spirit and then join in the celebrations in heaven, Lord, where we give ourselves to you. Help us to understand now, Lord, take away any fear there might be. Help us to understand that it is for freedom that we are set free by this very thing. So, Lord, we pray now for any here who are thinking of that you will lead them through your Holy Spirit into your loving arms, Lord. Amen. Now let us pray for ourselves. If you would like to pray out loud, if there's somebody on your mind who you think is not as free as they should be, either, as I said, through physical, mental, spiritual, and any other sort of activity in their lives, and you want to say their name out loud, please do so. I suggest you only give us their Christian name. It might be slightly embarrassing if you give their total name. Or if you want to just pray quietly for them or for yourself, let's bring these things to the Lord. Loving Heavenly Father, you are a loving Father, and you love to give us good things. We thank you that you gave us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die and rise again, that we might be saved, and to bring us freedom. Lord, we just pray for those who we know, and pray for ourselves, where there's an area of freedom that has not been given, Lord, that it might be claimed in your name, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we lift ourselves and we lift others before you now. Diane. Amen. I'm going to suggest something I don't think we've done before. I'm going to read out a verse in a minute. I'm going to get you all to stand up. The power of being up here. You see, I can get people to stand up when I ask them. And we've been singing about hallelujah. We've sung several times with the words hallelujah. So I'm going to read that verse from chapter 5, the one about freedom, Christ setting us free. And then I'd like us all to, as loud as we can, declare hallelujah at the end. Because it should bring us to a point where we say, Lord, this is really spectacular and marvellous. Hallelujah. No, it's not like that. You know, I know we're English. Most of us are. I certainly am. We're probably British and a few other. If you're from another nation, bring that enthusiasm to us Brits, please. But let's get up. I'll read the verse out to you and let's say a real loud hallelujah to the Lord. And then I'll leave Steve to finish with a blessing. So this is from Paul. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again in a yoke of slavery. Hallelujah. Try again. Hallelujah.
Cracking. Thank you, Martin. Don't forget, this is about freedom, and this is what the whole kingdom was about. It's all about freedom. That's why Jesus died and came and saved us. So this is about freedom. Okay, and the ministry team is stood over there as we speak, and they are raring to go. So I don't know about you. Sometimes I need a bit of help and a bit of bravery to step forward and just step out. So we're going to have one more song, okay, and then we'll come to the blessing. I've forgotten the second part of notices as well, so that will be fun. So if that is you, or if you heard some of the words given earlier, okay, and you need to step out a little bit, then go and get some help, because these guys will stand with you in that ministry, yeah, to bring that freedom into your life. I don't know about you. I personally struggle with work, and I need to find more freedom in my work. What's it for you? Actually, do you know what? God's kingdom's here. It's here. It's here. It's out there. So he's paid the great price. Why wouldn't we want to get that freedom in our lives? Okay, so let's get over ourselves a little bit, Stephen. Sorry, I'm speaking to me as well. Okay, but let's go for some ministry. Let's have that freedom in our lives. So if any of those words did mean anything to you and you need to reach out, then let's go and get some prayer. Okay, we'll have one more song, notices, blessing, and then we'll have coffee. Guys, tea and coffee's at the back. Have an excellent week. Thank you for coming this morning and spending your time. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Be blessed, guys. Thank you.